Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot as always. 3 hours of a lot of football coming up. College football, big game coming up tonight. The winner, obviously, will get Miami, and we have wild card weekend. This is certainly turned into one of the best weekends of the entire year on the sports calendar. On the program today, VSiN host Mike Somich, best bets, his look at the wild card round. Derek Stevens, we'll ask him what kind of night it was last night. Live, maybe pregame as well, with Miami winning and covering and the game going over. And Ryan Kramer, touchdown, props, player props, ladder bets, first touchdown scores as well with him coming up a little bit later on. We have a lot of numbers today that are awesome for these matchups in the NFL and the game tonight. So what do we think of it last night going from Ole Miss and the under flipping like that to Miami and the over, and how crazy, and they were commenting on this during the game, Herb Street and Fowler, about if they can ever remember a big game playing out like it did in the fourth quarter. That's 17-16 under 9 minutes to play. Just the back and forth and the huge plays, and I thought it was a terrible targeting call in Miami when they had that lead by one with 8:54 to play. I could also say that I thought the end of the game should have been a PI on Miami to get Ole Miss one more play.
Oh, I love the quote. Mutual combat. Love that from the officiating analyst.
I don't know. I saw a bunch of replays from different angles, and I thought the guy from Miami was way too physical. Look, in a sport that, and I want, like the PI kills me, right? But in a sport when they call all the ticky-tack nonsense, like that's not PI?
Yeah.
Okay.
My number one bad beat on the under. You had two quarters where only 3 points were scored.
Yeah.
The kicking was phenomenal. Canaro would did a great job with Ole Miss. He's right there with Sandell, best kicker in college. He was phenomenal. What a weapon that guy is. But Miami should have blown him out, or at least won by a comfortable margin. They dropped, what, four interceptions? At least three. Three balls right to him.
Yeah.
The missed field goal, the tipped interception, and it looked like Fiesta Bowl was going to be a house of horrors again. And then the mistake early where Lacy hits them. They're dominating up front. They're controlling the clock. Lacy hits them with the big one.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I got to give full marks to Beck. He played well, and I know I'm guilty. Van Pelt said he was guilty as well. Can you trust Beck? Well, he's 37-5 now as a starter, and they get a home game, and the U is definitely back. That's awesome. It was a great game. Chambliss is fantastic. What a story coming in from Ferris State. I think he can play at the next level. And Ole Miss was game two. What they were up against, the coaching situation, what happened, who's in, who's out, who's going to LSU. Phenomenal game, epic fourth quarter. But Miami has dudes. And they had guys with the flu. They had people that were injured. And the backup stepped up, and they got the win. I thought they were the better team, and they deserved to win by a bigger margin. But a great job by the Canes and a phenomenal game.
I thought both quarterbacks were rough to begin the game. I thought that was pretty obvious for Beck and Chambliss. And then the way it unfolded, Beck made huge plays, obviously the game-winning touchdown run that he had. And Chambliss, with his eventual running ability, and that Miami front is no joke, obviously. But the way that he can put that ball, man, in just great spots for the receivers to get it. You said that you think that he can play at the next level.
Yeah.
I would actually think that. I grabbed a slice of him at 80-1 to be the first pick in the draft. Now, this was pending with the waiver, which was shot down today. He can't come back.
Yep.
And they're going to keep appealing this, but it doesn't look good right now. He's on a 20-1. I mean, I've watched this kid play now a bunch down the stretch, like everybody else has. You're telling me that Mendoza is still like a $4 or $5 favorite to go one, and Chambliss is not going to be a talking point?
That's fair.
Come on, let's get real here with this.
He's a cool customer. How about the last drive? To be in that position, he only had 18 seconds. That was incredible.
I know.
The two plays he made and then almost completed the Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
The kid's awesome. That was great. And now, it's got to be said and repeated. And we did a little bit of this on New Year's Day. No more. The SEC now was 1-8 in bowls against Power 4 teams, other Power 4 teams. It's the third year in a row they haven't even made the title game.
Mm-hmm.
No more about asking for 5-6 teams in. No more of the preseason polls you get half the teams in. No more whining. No more complaining. That's enough now. You're not going to win it again. And the only reason maybe you got this far is because the teams were playing one another. So that's enough.
It was set up on purpose from those in charge for 25 years for this conference to shine, and they took advantage of it. For many, many reasons, we've documented over and over and over again. We don't have to run down every single thing that took place, but you're exactly right. No other conference could have a team lose in the top five or the top 10 to an unranked team in their own conference and drop one or two spots. Every other conference, it happened with Oregon before when they were a machine, and they lost to a good team, and they would drop 10 spots in the polls. It's the only conference where that would happen. That's long gone. It's a completely different sport, and they have not been the king of the sport now for a long time, folks. It's going on 1,000 days, maybe a little bit more.
You got that right.
So there's no comeback to it. I don't want to hear anything from anybody. You had too long. It was fixed for your conference for too long.
Yeah, Alabama, when we had two teams, only two teams got in. Bama lost at home. It didn't score a touchdown and only dropped one spot. Nonsense. But any event, November 29th, Nick Saban on game day. If Miami gets in, that's the team no one will want to play. They are the most dangerous team because of all the talent they have.
Yeah, well.
November 29th. And as we sat here on the selection Sunday, an hour before the selection show, Miami was 125-1. Full marks to Matt Hettinger, who on December 4th bet Miami to make the quarters, the semis, and the title game. 11-1, 30-1, and 50-1.
Well, so if we could go back to that selection Sunday show, we were on the air with the Pro Football Tailgate show, but we were doing a little college day as well. And Miami was floating around, you know, plus 175, maybe as high as 2-1 that day to make the playoffs. And we were like, okay, you got to bet that. And we were, you know, Felica was super strong on it. And he was on with us that week. We were playing the audio. He's like, hold strong on this. They're going to get in. It's not going to be Notre Dame. But I feel like an idiot because, yes, we did bet Miami multiple times to make it, and they did. Why did we not also discuss the idea, strong enough anyway, / make bets on this team to win the whole thing? When they were there like at 12, 16, 18-1 throughout the regular season.
I did it the year before. I told everyone, let's take some 125-1 because I think they're going to get in. And Cam Ward could be dangerous. Imagine if they just can get a couple stops or force some turnovers. But it didn't work out for him. And then this was the year that it happened. But we just took the 550 and said that was it.
Full of regrets on that one.
Yeah, and I'll give his name coming up later, but there was a viewer who's got the ticket 100-1. He wants advice. Just whoever wins tonight, just go bet the money line. And you're set. He wins $3,500. I mean, it's perfect. And I don't think, before the game, I didn't think they were putting enough stock into a home game for Miami. The look-ahead lines were Oregon 2.5 and Indiana 5.5. But Miami also had some injuries last night, too.
Yeah, they did.
But that's going to be big because I don't think these guys are going to be good to go coming back January 19th. That's something to monitor. But you're in a great position, and it's a dynamite spot, an all-time spot if you took the 125-1. Well, to be at home, and you're probably worse. If Indiana's a freight train night, you're probably only a 6-point dog, 6.5.
So how does it tie into tonight's game, making a bet, having strong opinions or, you know, projections on what's going to happen here? Because, again, as you said, two different quarters with 3 points in it last night. That game was trending in the second half to stay under the total, the pregame total, easily, by the way. And it completely flipped with how the big plays were taking over as the key storyline here in that fourth quarter. And now Indiana's down to 3 after getting as high as 4.5 down to 3, totals up to 49. Like, I feel like Indiana's the side here.
Yeah.
Watching Chambliss again last night late, he was so good. Is Dante Moore, who was thought to be possibly the number one pick or quarterback number two anyway behind Mendoza, is more capable of making plays against this tough Indiana defense like Chambliss did last night? Maybe, but I'm not positive about that.
Not impressed with them against Texas Tech. And I also think Oregon's been hit by the deck as far as the schedule. You get James Madison and Tech. While the defense played well against Tech, Morton was a disaster.
Yeah.
And that could have been a 6-0 game in the third quarter. Penn State was down. That was your big road win. You won at Iowa in the elements. Great job up front. They were tough in that game. Lost at home to Indiana. Beat USC at home and won at Washington. So, but then again, when they were going up against top defenses, they didn't do anything offensively. They struggled. So I can't go against Cignetti, and I'm surprised with the move, and I would think they can frustrate more. And they were all over them in the first game with 6 sacks, and how you said they dominated the game and should have been a comfortable win in the first one.
All right, let's hear from both coaches here in tonight's game. Dan Lanning from Oregon, Kurt Cignetti, obviously from Indiana, their keys to the game.
I think it always starts with the ball. Right, the team that's able to take care of the ball. You know, last time we played, we didn't. have to take care of the ball. We were able to create a takeaway as well, but we ended up having two. I think that's a big piece of this. And special teams in big games always makes a big impact. I think we have to play well on special teams.
I mean, we talk about the same thing every single game. Line of scrimmage, run the ball, stop the run, affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback, turnover ratio. We're number one in the country. Explosive plays, runs plus 12, passes plus 15 on both sides. Critical situations, third, fourth down, red area, 2 minutes before the half end of the game. And teams has to be a win. You know, every game, same stuff.
I should have named more. I thought we were just doing two.
That was two.
God dang, Coach.
That was Cignetti there at the end saying that was two. And that's, like, Lanning's too big of a wild card to me.
I agree.
Cignetti has this team buttoned up like yeah. Saban did with Bama for all those years.
Yeah.
He's too good. The guy's 64. He should have been, like, the man in charge of a program like this for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I watch him play, I'm like, they don't make mistakes ever. And they're absolutely physical. And it's not like they have a bunch of five-star dudes at all. It's just like, well, that speaks to him and how they have just developed these guys as well in a year or two being in that program. I think what Wes Reynolds said yesterday on the show is spot on. As long as he's there, Indiana's going nowhere.
Top five again next year, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Wildcard weekend coming up next. There is a matchup advantage on paper for this position group in the early game. Factor that in with a player who has gone over this number in seven straight games. Details coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Going to take our time throughout the show, stretch out, discussing these six games that we have for Wildcard Weekend. And we begin with the game tomorrow to kick things off. Rams are playing at the Panthers in a rematch. They are now, the Rams are, on the road. 10.5 pretty much across the screen. Total is between 45.5. There's a 46.5 out there as well. I will remind people that since 2002, quarterbacks making their first career playoff start versus a quarterback with playoff experience, 20-40 straight up, 20-39-1 ATS. That's Bryce Young on the bad side of that, taking on the MVP favorite here in Matthew Stafford. I haven't done anything with this game yet other than player props.
Okay. I think the back door could be open late, and I'm concerned about the Rams' defense. Let's see what they can do if they can hold up with the run defense. Which didn't happen the first meeting. The Rams also gashed Carolina on the ground in the first meeting as well. I would think they could have their way offensively and get whatever they want. Carolina has been held to 17 points or fewer 10 times. Minus 69-point differential, 23rd in Sagarin's ratings. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN FPI has them the 25th best team in the NFL. The Rams, number one. I think of 2010. When 11-5 New Orleans went to 7-9 Seattle as a 9.5-point favorite, lost the game with the Beastquake game and what happened. But the first meeting I felt was a fluke. Carolina plus 3 in the turnover battle, 3-for-3 on fourth down, 7-of-15 on third down. They have 8 wins as a dog. That's a record. And the fifth team to win a division with a losing record the prior four split. They're 2-2 straight up. Double-digit dogs in the playoffs on a 1-17 straight up run. McVay likes to be the bully as a road favorite of 3 or more, 27-6 straight up, laying more than 4, 19-2 straight up, and as a road favorite against teams with a losing record, 21-4 straight up. They should eat and get whatever they want offensively against Carolina.
Yeah, they had more than 7 yards per play in the regular season game. Also, they never faced a fourth down, and they only had 5 third downs. So that tells you that they were just getting everything accomplished on first and second down, and they were in, like, zero, like, dangerous leverage situations the entire time. Meanwhile, Carolina picked up like 50% of the third downs. They had a lot of them, and they were perfect on fourth down. They scored twice on fourth down in that game.
Yeah.
And that was the game that Stafford was not great, and the turnovers were there. And this team does have bad special teams, which can come back and haunt them as well. I will point this out.
Dicker kickers only missed one kick, though. That's one thing. And they fired their special teams coordinator, and this guy, he missed the big one against Seattle. But other than that, he's been clean.
Yeah, but also, like, I think, like, dangerous returns are live against them.
I'm more concerned about the defense.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah. This is from Aaron Schatz, the man in charge of DVOA numbers. How about this? The worst DVOA teams to make the playoffs. Five of the bottom six, not including Carolina, won their first playoff game. None got past the divisional round. This 2025 Carolina team ranks, I think, 10th overall or 11th overall as the worst team to make the playoffs. But all of these teams that were really, really bad, like 2004 St. Louis, 2010 Seattle, the team that you talked about, they were 7-9. 1998 Arizona, 9-7. Denver in 2011, 8-8. Five of the bottom six won the first game. Here's what I'm looking at in terms of a player prop overall. What did you see at one book for a tight end to score?
I think it's DraftKings. They have all the Rams tight end score a touchdown. It's $1.20, and you get all four options.
He throws to four dudes.
That's right. They enlisted all four guys. Yeah.
So the Panthers are 30th in DVOA against tight ends, and they allow 59.5 receiving yards per game to the position. Here's the guy. Colby Parkinson had four catches on five targets, 27 yards in the regular season. His prop is 19.5. He has cleared that number in seven straight games, 8 out of 9 and 9 out of 11. Now, some of this, again, you could come back and say, well, there was no Devontae Adams for some of those games. Sure, but they did have Devontae Adams for a bunch of them. And he was coming on as, what, the third most popular target for Matthew Stafford down the stretch? I had to play over 19.5 yards. I think it's too short.
How many points do the Panthers score? Because the Rams have averaged 28 a game in the last six. They also are top five in takeaways, and they're top five in turnover differential. They're plus 11. Carolina's minus 2 on the season. That's the other thing. 23 giveaways by Carolina. Third most in the league.
Uh-huh.
That's where school could be out if that happens.
Well,
does he play clean? And also, can they contain the rushing attack? Carolina had a 160 in the first meeting. And other explosive plays. Can the Rams defense step up and be halfway decent?
Do you think Carolina scores more than 17 points? Because, again, that total, you can get as low as 45.5.
Well, it also depends if they fall behind big, too. I mean, are they forced to play catch-up?
I think
they can get to 20.
Yeah, if you told me right now that Carolina is going to get to 20, you have to play the over in this game. Because I'm pretty comfortable in saying the Rams are going to touch like 27, 28 points, maybe even get in the 30s. And that total is at, again, 45.5 or 46.
This is from Steve Mackin at VSiN.com. The last 14 years when road teams have won outright in the wild card round, under the total is 75%.
Wow.
Home teams have scored just 16 points per game in those road wins. But on the flip side, the last 43 wild card games with the totals of 44 or higher, under the total 68%, and it went 5-0 in 2025. All the games except Houston, Pittsburgh have totals of 44.5 or more.
Yep, and there's also that angle with the outdoor, all of them being played on outdoors.
That's angle too.
Here's what I did. Here's what I did today. I did play a round robin, a 6-team round robin, and I played it by fours. So there are 15 bets here, and I played all alt unders, starting with this game at under 55.5. This is at Circa, and you can bet these individually. They let you parlay them as well. Most books are going to have alternate totals, obviously, or they'll let you play with whatever number you want. Here at Circa, they just put up their standard under number for totals, alt numbers. I played under 55 here, under 54.5 in the Packers-Bears game, under 61.5 for Jags and Bills, under 52.5 for the Eagles and Niners, under 55.5 Patriots-Chargers, and under 47 in the Monday night game. It's about a... we'll call it about 3/5 of a normal unit size, but it pays not quite, almost 2-1 overall if it comes in. But again, if I hit four, if I hit five, Now we're talking a little bit, but if all six come in, then it's a really good day overall. Okay. And I'm just kind of hoping that we don't get a lot of points this weekend, and the outdoor thing, that angle, those trends over the years actually turns into something here. Also, dogs are on a run of 19-9-1 ATS, last 29 NFC wildcard games overall, Carolina, Chicago, and San Francisco.
I like Tremble over, and I like Coker over. I don't think it's going to be McMillan here. And I think Coker could get at least 40 yards, and Tommy should be able to get at least 20. Not to mention, I think they're going to be playing catch-up, too.
Sure. I think that when you go back and look at McMillan's game log, you're going to see one catch for a touchdown in this game against the Rams. Reminder, he did nothing until late. Did not have a catch. And that was on a fourth down play designed to a tight end. Rams have it covered. McMillan got loose behind coverage. Young scrambled, saw him, put a beautiful pass in his hands, and he scored a touchdown. That's all he did. Only catch he had for the entire game. The other one here is Packers and Bears. Total, you have under 47.5?
Yeah. I thought it was too high. Here comes the weather.
You're right. So 40, it got touched 44 yesterday at least one book that I saw. Now 45.5. And there's a two out there now on Green Bay. 1.5 is the more common number. Jordan Love, third in QBR this year. Fourth overall, according to PFF. The Bears at home this year, 6-2 straight up, 5-3 against the spread. This is also from Mackin and Pauly. Did you say this one already, the last 39 Saturday games?
I did not.
Home teams are 26-13 straight up, 25-13-1 ATS. On Sundays, home teams are 20-22 straight up, 15-26-1 ATS.
Remember what I said, what I quoted Nick Saban. These teams that force a lot of turnovers and are great in a turnover differential in the regular season, he doesn't expect it to show up in the playoffs, and the luck factor is going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
Mackinnon, teams that force more turnovers in the regular season than their opponent are 38% since 2017 in wild card games. The fluky nature of luck turns at playoff time. And Chicago, plus 33 takeaways, plus 22 differential, number one in the league. They haven't won a playoff game since 2010, but also history it doesn't go well for teams on a long. Green Bay has lost four in a row, limping in to the playoffs, and only the third time they've faced all time in the playoffs. ESPN FPI, Packers fifth, Bears 15th.
Ugh.
DVOA, Bears 16th. Not a lot of respect for the Bears. I like the Packers, and I like the under.
Yeah,
it's just I just think this, they're not going to go well for the Bears if Love plays clean.
I have minus 115 Green Bay money line in pocket in this game. Let's not forget the game at the very end of the regular season, week 16? Total fluke again how the Bears won that game. Like, that was the story of their season. Sunday games next. We have a 21-2 angle going in one of the games that we have. 21-2 ATS. We'll tell you which game fits that bill next. A little bit of breaking news here in the NBA. Shams Charania, ESPN. Dallas Mavericks star Anthony Davis.
No.
What's your guess?
Traded?
No. Oh. Unfortunately, that would have been a much better story. Sustained ligament damage in his left hand.
Out for the year?
Depending on a second opinion, and if surgery is required, Davis could miss a number of months. Same story, different day.
That's right. Unbelievable.
That's what they got for Luka.
Yeah. Sick.
Holy smokes, man.
Sick.
Who could have seen that coming, I guess, huh?
Flag did it again last night. Went over all his props in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Do you have more on this Bears-Packers game? Yep.
Seven seeds are 1-9, losing on average 11 points per game. Packers in 2023, the only seven seed to win. You mentioned the luck factor. Bears, six wins when trailing under 2 minutes, most since the merger. But they're 27th in points allowed per possession. If they're not, that's just ahead of the Jets and Bengals. If they don't force turnovers, it's bad, mm-hmm. and they don't get stops. But how do you combat that and also keep Love off the field? Look what Henry did to Green Bay. You got to force Swift. You got to force Menungai down their throats. and you got to establish the run like the Philly game, and you got to see what Henry did and how the Ravens ran over the Packer defense.
Yeah,
that's what Johnson's got to do tomorrow night.
I think Johnson is absolutely, I mean, he's one of the smartest coaches in the league already year one in. I think he'll recognize that. Let me tell you this. Opta AI Stats, VSIN.com, they have Jacobs projected for 56.22 yards, going under by 20 yards. They're projecting Cook for the Bills to have 55 yards.
Whoa.
The Jags are the best rush defense in football.
Yeah.
And Barkley, they have going for 57 yards in the game.
That one I don't agree with. Cook's tough, yeah. I mean, I know they haven't allowed a guy go for 75 yards, but this is Cook's going to get plenty of opportunities, I think.
All right, since 2002, quarterbacks making their first playoff start versus a quarterback with playoff experience again. To go over this one more time, 20-40 straight up, 20-39-1 ATS. When that first-time quarterback is favored by 3-plus points, 10-9 straight up, 8-11 ATS. That's a little bit better. That's Drake May. And as a 3-point favorite or more, 10-0 straight up, 8-2 ATS. There's much more on this game, though. Justin Herbert, as a dog of more than 3 points, 12-2-1 ATS. Are you serious? NFL wild card small dogs, about 3.5 or points or fewer since 2017, 14-4 ATS, covering by 8 points per game. And then there's this wild card dogs versus non-playoff teams the previous year. 21-2 ATS since 2013.
Hello. A lot of support out there for the Chargers. A lot of love. Tough. I mentioned the 7-seed angle. But there's so many things going on here. Number one, New England with that easy schedule, ninth easiest since the merger. They're horrible red zone defense, but the Chargers are bad on offense. The Chargers are 26th in EPA per play without Alt. Herbert's going to have time to throw. New England doesn't have a pass rush. And it might come down to who's settling for field goals as well. Where also I think the Chargers are susceptible here is the deep passes. And May throws a beautiful deep ball.
Oh. No doubt.
And hello, Saturday at home against the Texans when they hit two right away against the Chargers that May could go off early there. But as I've said all week, this is a huge game for Herbert. 0-2 career in the playoffs, 10 games under 500 against teams with a winning record, and a big opportunity here considering what happened last year. He threw 4 picks. So I think he could have a big day through the air against New England. But there's so much stuff where Chargers are bad at this, but New England can't take advantage. Chargers have issues here, but New England can't take advantage. And they got the good news on Hampton, and this will be also key. Weeks 10 through 18, the Patriot defense allowed 4.7 yards per carry, 130 a game and 8 touchdowns. Was that because of injuries, because they were so good early on? Or is it more of, well, some guys still are back, other guys are still out, and maybe that's something where the Chargers can take advantage of that?
I'm going to lean on the injuries. Those guys are supposed to be back.
Okay. They played last year. It was 40-7 Chargers.
That's that, no doubt. That was also without Mike Vrabel, and that was year one of Drake May. I will also give you this. So you've been saying all year long that you don't like the Bills because Josh Allen has to be Superman in all their games, which I'm not going to disagree with. I actually think Justin Herbert has to be Superman more than Josh Allen does. And the reason why I'm saying that is because when you look at in the trenches where they actually rank overall, just going on Pro Football Focus numbers, pass blocking, they rank 31st overall in the league. How about run blocking overall? 32nd in the league. So they're the worst team at run blocking, according to Pro Football Focus, in the entire league, and they have the second worst pass blocking, according to PFF. Now I can flip that and again remind you, great tweet from Cleve TA, reminding people of who the Patriots played this year at quarterback. So the Patriots, they played 61% of the snaps, the most in the league by a mile, against backup quarterbacks or the worst quarterbacks in the league, meaning 30th or worse by EPA. 61% of the snaps. They faced here are the quarterbacks they faced overall on the year. Josh Allen twice, obviously MVP. Lamar Jackson goes without saying. But Lamar played 12 plays in that game. They took on Jackson Dart. He was coming off of a concussion on Monday Night Football. And they also play Baker Mayfield when Mayfield was starting to really go downhill a lot. Other than that, they played a lot of junk, more than any other team in the league.
Henderson beat them in that game. Yep.
Beat the Buccaneers, yeah.
May is 10-0 this year. Henderson was awesome. laying three or more. They've won 12 of 13. And as I've talked about, and I already bet it, they're awesome in the first half. 14-3 ATS, 16-1-1 first half money line. Good God.
So you said that the Patriots will not get pressure, and this ties into this, right? I just told you that the Chargers offensive line, 31st in pressure rate since week 9 as well. The Patriots defensive line, 31st in pressure rate without a blitz. So they're going to have to probably send that against Herbert, and can he pick him apart and do damage that way?
This is the ultimate I told you so game. Told you. Patriots haven't, they're fugazi, haven't played anyone.
Yeah.
Told you, Chargers aren't that good. May's awesome.
May's the MVP.
Yep. You got that 1-14 angle, too, though, against the Chargers. These teams, then they go outside, and it's under 40 degrees. 1-14 straight up in the playoffs. You got that angle, too, and it's going to be cold Sunday night. Both teams to make a 33-yard field goal. The other thing is Dicker's got the yips now. Got to be worried about that. Yes.
Blip.
Come on.
Blip.
No.
Yep.
He wasn't even close on the extra point.
I know,
and
but it's also
short one too.
But before that, he was the most accurate kicker in the history of the league.
It's outside now in the elements.
I'm
just saying it's squeaky bum time, and I don't like Harbaugh. Loves to kick field goals and pass on 4th and 1 too.
Okay,
he's better change that up Sunday.
The middle game on Sunday, Philadelphia is now up to a 6-point favorite at DraftKings. Jalen Hurts is undefeated at home in the playoffs, 31-5 straight up in his career as a home favorite.
Yep.
There is this, though. I think we got some good – I'm going to try to find this, right? We have good news today on Trent Williams.
Yes.
He was limited in practice today, but now he is trending towards playing, and that is massive for this team because they do not have good results, the 49ers, that is, when he is not on the field. Hurts is also 13-1 straight up in December or later. Brock Purdy, how about this? He's made 51 starts, Paulie. He's been a dog in 4 of them. 0-4 straight up, 0-4 ATS.
That's right. And I mentioned, will he take care of the ball? I don't know. He's 23-1 without a turnover. He's 11-15-1 when he turns it over at least once, and he's 2-8 with multiple turnovers. Not surprising there, but he's susceptible to a couple turnovers here against this nasty defense. And who gets the spaghetti and meatballs in the brown paper bag afterwards from Fangio?
Mm-hmm.
There should be a lot of design runs for Hurts. I love him over his rushing yards, and it could be a big day for Barkley. And look what Seattle did against him Saturday night. But aren't we getting carried away now? I mean, come on. Shanahan's an excellent coach. You should have Williams. You have weapons. Boy, that's how bad this offense has been.
Sure.
I think with time to prepare here, Salah at least have something ready for Hurts. And Hurts, again, made an interesting comment about Petullo earlier in the week as well. About I'm just doing what I'm given. They're not like they're doing anything creative and pretty much taking a shot at the OC as well. I just don't like how the offense is. I just don't expect them to flip the switch. I don't see it.
And based on that angle, I know they're 6-point favorites here, and they've taken nothing but money the entire week. But I think there is an angle here where the Eagles cannot take advantage of this bad 49ers defense because they are who they are at this point, which means the Niners are going to be in this game a lot. But there's also the angle that Philadelphia's defense is so good that you can't throw on them. And you can run. And this could be a big game for CMC on the ground.
I like him receiving.
I like him a lot running.
Oh, you do?
Oh, absolutely.
I like him receiving. And I also like Kittle under. Philly's great against tight ends.
Second best in the league.
Yes.
Eagles ranked 26th in adjusted line yards on defense in the regular season, 14th in power success allowed, 27th worst stuffed rate. I took McCaffrey 13-1 most rushing yards this weekend.
All right. I mean, they have 2 takeaways since week 14, and they're giving up 25 a game.
Yeah.
That's where it could not go well for the Niners defense.
Win some, lose some. More games to get to, including crazy numbers with 3 seeds in recent years.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Great game last night. Lacey first touchdown plus 450. Beck anytime, 5-1. How was that only 5-1? He hadn't scored since the South Florida.
I would agree. Unbettable number.
Yeah.
Also, that Lacy touchdown, I think, caught the entire universe by surprise. And he was just gone. See?
Yeah. Yep.
But another thing.
Bad job by the Miami defense there. I was surprised by that.
Oh, you might have this in Windows. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But the fact that he got hurt was going to stay under his rushing yard prop.
He got there, though. Came back. Brown anytime, plus 350. Field goal every quarter, plus 750.
Ooh.
That kid for Ole Miss is something. Man, he'd over 51 up to 53.5. Shout out to David Bennett again, who has Miami 100-1. Just take whoever wins tonight on the money line, David. Lock in a profit. You're good to go. Matt Hettinger. Miami to make the quarters at FanDuel, 11-1, December 4th. To make the semis, 30-1. To make the title game, 50-1. NBA, Pacers plus 160, Jazz plus 160. Cooper Flagg, 13-1 overrun rebounds, 13-1 overrun assist prop, 13-1 overrun rebounds and assist prop. Incredible. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. This guy's a local, and that's all his dogs. Look at the bullies. 5 of them. And he takes a couple of them and do award shows, and I think they win.
Well, he's the guy right there on the left. I mean, look how beautiful that dog is. Oh, my God.
Look at the guy on the right. Built like an ice cube.
Yeah.
Laying down. Yeah, what of it, he says.
Well, they're all stunning dogs, awesome. But I mean, that coat with like the white coat almost with like the caramel sprinkled in a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's insanely beautiful.
Like
holy
the guy,
man.
The guy in the back too. They're all awesome. Man, he's great. He's active on X. 702 Bullies, I think it's called.
What's their life expectancy? Do we know?
Yeah, good question. Tough out here with the heat too.
Yeah.
Good one. This is Holly. Holly's got a routine for bed every night. Goes outside, does her business, comes in through the doggy door, and then the slow walk. That's it. Okay, that's it for me. Can't argue with the body. That's a fight you cannot win. Coming back, going in the... Got the bed set up in the closet, right? Going to the room, in the closet. All right, laying down, comfortable. Got my blankets, got my little pillow. Mitch, I need one more thing, though. One more thing before I call it a night.
Teddy bear?
Got to give me the toy. There, okay. Bring it in. Bring it in for the real thing. There you go. That is awesome. I got to have that. That is great. That's Holly. Send that in, Luke. That's phenomenal. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Jeff and the crew have been at it since 2011 with Follow the Money since day one. Donate over $30,000 to charity with the Robinhood plays. Free reports, alerts, market-moving insights, straight to your inbox or X feed. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com. Trusted by pros, monitored by the book. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Give them a follow. Sharpplays.com, the man.
The middle game on Sunday. The early game. I'm sorry. Buffalo is still clinging here at most books, 1.5. On the screen, I do see one. I actually see a pick'em. That's over at the South Point here in Las Vegas. Hard Rock actually has Jacksonville favored by 1. Hard Rock in Florida and some other states, obviously. And this game is, I said this right away, I think on Monday. I love Jacksonville so much, it scares me to death. I hold by that. The numbers don't lie here, but here's what I'm concerned about. Jacksonville has been a lot about Trevor Lawrence in the passing game down the stretch. And they, to begin the year, had one of the best rushing attacks in the entire league. It was almost elite across all 32 squads. That's come back to the pack now as the season ended. But it's been all Lawrence. Jacoby Myers has been awesome in the passing game. The tight end Strange has been really, really good among others. But the Bills allowed the fewest passing yards per game out of any team in the league during the regular season. Where you can get this team, obviously, is on the ground. 31st overall in EPA per rush allowed. The fifth most per game on the ground allowed as well. 30th in power success rate allowed. 26th in the second level. 31st in the open field. The Jags actually allowed the fewest rushing yards in the league.
Not only are the Bills horrendous against the run, 28th. 28 times they allowed a play of 15-plus yards on the ground. So are the chunk plays going to be there too? I mean, watch out. There could be, at the end, he's got to be a huge game. It's Baltimore so bad.
Sure. Jacksonville's also, along with like the EPA numbers, sixth best EPA success rate allowed, third best EPA per pass, 12th in EPA per rush overall on offense. To me, this is all about a team from 1 to 53 that is really good, and they have like excellent wins this year. Like they went to San Francisco, healthy Brock Purdy. They won that game, and they created a ton of turnovers. They beat the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
That's what they do.
Okay. That's no great shakes, but at the time, like, oh, maybe this is something here. They went to Denver and absolutely killed that team, right? They have a lot of good wins. Buffalo comes down to a really good pass defense, Josh Allen, and if James Cook can run the football, and I don't think he's going to be able to in this game.
Shakir leads him in yards with like 700. I mean, who's he going to on third down?
Yep.
Who can you count on? Yep.
And there's also a non-zero chance that Liam Cohen is a better coach than Sean McDermott.
Yep. Lost 8 in a row on the road in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Last road win, 1993. Only 3 teams have lost 7 in a row in the playoffs. Detroit, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. Jacksonville during this winning streak averaging 33 a game. 8-0 straight up an ATS run. Nuts. So you mentioned the Allen thing. 46-10 straight up without a turnover. Does he play clean?
Because
Jacksonville, 31 takeaways, second in the league, third best turnover differential, plus 13. Oh, by the way, I'm probably on my third kicker. They signed Matthew Wright.
That's another thing, right? The special teams?
I love Jacksonville longest made field goal in the game. Oh, God.
You have
That's
to.
Huge, yeah.
Have
and now they just signed another guy. Prater got hurt. Had to go for 2 at the end of the Jets game. Prater thinks he'll go, but in any event, I got Little. You can 68, no problem. Bang, in your face.
So
that special teams could decide this.
I get it. Like, quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. He's the reigning MVP. Josh Allen is the best player in football. Is he that good where the team that he is facing is better pretty much everywhere else to be favored on the road by 1.5 in a spot where he's never won a playoff game on the road, like you just said?
Yeah.
And maybe
they're going to put heat on him too. Third and pressures.
Right.
You got to finish though.
There is a chance as well that Liam Cohen as the head coach here is finally extracting the talent that we thought we were going to get from Trevor Lawrence from day one. Something that, well, Urban Meyer, forget about it. That was a wasted year from him, but something Doug Peterson could never do. And now this dude has, and that's the reason, I mean, I've ripped the guy more than anybody. He was a total bust in my opinion. Until like this season and this recent stretch, and maybe that continues where he just keeps going scorched earth.
I told you so. If he turns the ball over, though,
if Lawrence does,
yes,
yeah, he's also. I know the big talking point is going to be the Allen rushing yards. Lawrence has been dynamite running the football, especially getting touchdowns. Now, take this for what it's worth. Steve Mackinnon does a great job with every angle you can imagine at VSiN.com. Number 3 seeds that were a dog, less than 3.5, or let me go back. Number 3 seeds that were a dog or less than a 3.5-point favorite are 2-15 straight up and ATS since 2004, scoring 17.4 points per game. That would be Jacksonville. If history means anything, they don't win this game.
Yeah.
But that's a 3-seed angle.
And the 6 seeds are crushing it. The 6 seeds are 75% going back. How about the, this is 2013. How about the under angle?
What is that one?
The 3-6.
I don't have that one in front of me.
No, you don't?
No.
80%.
Oh, is that right?
Dating back to 2013, you play the 3-6 matchup under, which is the Jags game and the Niners game. 25-1 under run. Since 2013. Right. Strong stuff.
And so when Buffalo wins this game on Sunday, I expect nothing but, you know, responses from the Buffalo area, Bills fans, saying, yeah, Mitch, that's why they were favored. It's because Josh Allen turned into Josh Allen and he killed them when it mattered most. Okay, maybe it plays out like that.
This is a game McDermott does not win. McDermott does not win these games.
Also, must be pointed out that the Bills are one of the worst teams to getting off the fast starts.
Bam. 4-13 ATS first half. Two of the covers are against the Jets. There you go.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. Like, if they get off to a slow start again in this game and they're not if they're down by a touchdown or more at halftime, they come back? I don't know. I'm fascinated by the game. VSiN host Mike Somich on the program coming up next. He's got a little bit of everything. Sides, team totals, player props, and a Super Bowl exacta. Find out who he likes next.